Our correspondent at the UK, Matthew Paris, is with us now. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, hello.
I can see Boris Johnson has a plan A and a plan B as winter approaches.
Yes, we're getting a little bit alarmed because we're getting about 30,000 new cases every day in England. Scotland, where I am at the moment, is even worse. It's not rocketing up, but it's creeping up. Deaths are not really creeping up very much, but the schools will be going back, have just gone back, and there is a fear that as winter closes in, we might begin to see a fairly steep climb again. And so the government is talking of what they would do if that happens. We don't know that it will. And plan A is just, you know, we'd be asked to wear masks a bit more, and perhaps people would be asked to work from home if they could. Plan B would be tougher, and people would be put under a lot of pressure to work at home. Masks would become compulsory, and you might even have occasional shutdowns of schools. And at the same time, that what we are definitely doing is more vaccination. So people of my age are going to get their booster jab over the next few months. Vulnerable people will, and we're going to be vaccinating teenagers as well. So it's not a sort of shock scenario. It is just that if this gets tougher, we must respond to it, and we must do it quickly. Sort of way of looking at things.
That 12 to 15 age group, we've started vaccinating our young people at that age over here. UK has been quite slow to come to this decision.
Yes, partly because a very slight risk is attendant upon anybody being vaccinated. So you have to show what the advantage, the countervailing advantage is. And it isn't entirely clear that vaccinating a child puts them at much of an advantage because they weren't really going to get sick in the first place. On the other hand, it may, if it stops them contracting the illness, stop them from passing it on. So that's the debate that's been going on in Britain. At the moment, it's only teenagers. We're not going down to younger children yet.
Matthew, I hear there is a hot ticket event coming up at Chequers for the Prime Minister.
Yeah, it's the 100th anniversary, I think it's the 100th, of Chequers. Chequers is the lovely country house which was given to the nation, and which is the Prime Minister's country residence, and it's used for lots of official purposes, but it's also used for leisure. And to mark the 100th anniversary, they are going to, the Prime Minister has invited, or rather the trust that runs Chequers, has invited all living ex-prime ministers, and they have all refused, except for Theresa May. Tony Blair has refused. John Major has refused, and Gordon Brown has refused, and it looks to me like collusion. I tell you why, because I did hear from somebody that Tony Blair was planning to go about 2 months ago. They've all known for months. They've refused on grounds, you know, they've got other engagements, but they don't, because they've known for months about this. And Tony Blair was planning to go, and now I see he isn't. So I think they've all been talking to each other, and it's basically they're boycotting Boris Johnson.
I'm sure he'll cope. He seems to have a tough
hide. I think he can live with it.
The inflation rate in the UK, we're watching our inflation rate over here too nudge up, but it's hit a record over there.
Yeah, it's 3.2% now. Well, the Bank of England is told to try to keep it around the 2% mark, so it's way above the target. As usual, the authorities say it's because of increasing food prices, because of a temporary shortage of lorry drivers and all that kind of thing. But it's a very long time since people in Britain have had to think about inflation at all. And one or two of us are just beginning to wonder whether we're going back to those days.
I see that there are lower clothing and footwear prices, but higher food prices. What's behind the higher food prices?
Well, it is particularly a shortage of transport. We're very short of lorry drivers, and we're trying to beef up our system for training and testing lorry drivers. It's partly because a lot of our lorry drivers came from the European Union, and they can't so easily come any longer. And it's partly because after COVID, people are beginning to stock up again. And it's partly the change that has been taking place all through the pandemic of people ordering things online rather than going into the shops. But it's all added up to a shortage of goods in the shops and the possibility of shelves being empty over Christmas.
Is this likely to be a blip, or will measures be taken?
Well, I think the shortage of lorry drivers is a blip, and if you pay them well enough, there's lots of young men and women that will want to be lorry drivers. Whether there's an underlying inflationary pressure, you better talk to the governor of the Bank of England. I simply don't know. But it's a spectre that haunts all British people, because we remember the days of high inflation and the strikes of workers because they weren't being paid as much, and everybody's wages beginning to lose their value, and we really don't want to go back to that.
A diplomatic row with Beijing.
Yes. You may or may not know that Beijing has banned a range of members of parliament from visiting China, going on any sort of visits, fact-finding or any other kind, on the basis that they have been raising concerns about the Uyghurs and the Chinese treatment of that minority. And the Chinese ambassador had been going to be the guest of honour at a reception on the terrace of the House of Commons. And the Speaker of the House of Commons, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, has said that he will not be welcome on the premises of the Palace of Westminster. If he's not going to let MPs go to China, they're not going to let him come and give a speech on their terrace. It's a slightly surprising thing when you first read it, and then you think, well, yes, he is the Speaker of the Commons. He does have the right to ban anybody from the Palace of Westminster. And, you know, he has a point. If they're going to refuse to issue visas to our parliamentarians, well, tit for tat.
Are there likely to be any consequences from this?
Well, there's already a sort of furious, outraged Chinese reaction, you know, treating it, saying that we're being irresponsible and it's a hostile act and all that kind of thing. The point is that the Chinese won't believe that this is the decision of the Speaker, but it almost certainly is. The Speaker is completely independent. He takes his own decisions on these things. He would not be susceptible to pressure from the government, but I expect Beijing believes that it's all part of a British plot to make things tougher for them, and that will make them all the more angry.
We have a minute and a half, Matthew, but I know you can do it. Strong action being taken on migrant boats found on the Channel.
Well, the first idea from our Home Secretary, and she's still our Home Secretary after the Cabinet reshuffle, the first action she was going to take was to try and tow them back into French waters. But it came apparent that you know, there might be terrible accidents at sea with these listing dinghies filled with pitiable people, and the French would probably just send them back anyway. So now it's going to be immigration officers on what are they called? Ski boards, I think. Well, you can only do that when the channel's fairly calm. I can think of plenty of conditions when you wouldn't go out into the channel on a ski board. Now, the idea of an officer, uniformed or otherwise, on a ski board, trying to turn a rubber dinghy loaded with people back, I'm not quite sure how it's going to work, but of course it's capturing all the headlines, and that's what our Home Secretary Priti Patel does best.
Thank you very much for that, Matthew. That's our UK correspondent, Matthew Paris.